Yesterday there was an assembly of the clergy, and one of the presenters spoke about the different details regarding the upcoming major liturgical events, so Palm Sunday and then the Paschal Triduum. And one thing he said, I took me by surprise. I don't know if I've ever heard this, but he spoke about the tradition of veiling the images, especially the cross. And he said one of the reasons why the church started to hide the cross is because in the last days before Holy Week, Jesus hid himself. This is in yesterday's gospel. When they tried to stone him, he hid himself. And they couldn't find him. It happened again in today's reading. Now, they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their power. Now, this is not Jesus avoiding the will of God. This is Jesus waiting for the right hour. So, you think of this, we have the image of the crucifix veiled. Remember when it gets unveiled on Good Friday? The priest holds up the cross and then takes a little part of the covering off. If you've been to the Good Friday liturgy, you know how this goes. He uncovers a little bit, says, "Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world." And everyone responds, "Come, let us adore. Come, let us adore." And then he does it again. He unveils another part of the crucifix. And then at the end, finally takes the whole covering away. And the cross is on display before everybody. It's mid-afternoon of Good Friday. And we're all saying, "Behold the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world. Come, let us adore." So on Good Friday, that's the time when he does reveal himself. He doesn't hide himself. He puts himself on public display. He's lifted up. But before that, no, he hides himself. So it's connected to this tradition we have of veiling the images. Well, this is what we see happening in these days, this growing tension between Jesus and his opponents. They keep trying to either arrest him or stone him. And it can look like things are getting worse. Well, they are getting worse. But I want to connect it to our experience of things getting worse. Because in Jesus' mind, it's not just that things are getting worse. It's things are getting closer to their completion. So this building up of tension is a necessary part of how God's plan unfolds. Now, because we don't see the whole plan of God and we have weak faith, when things start to go wrong, we're tempted to think, oh, something's gone wrong and God is not with me anymore and he's not taking care of me and everything's collapsing and I'm afraid. That's not how Jesus sees it. As I ponder this, the analogy that came to my mind was from archery. You know archery, the bow and arrow. When you pull on the bowstring, it creates tension, right? And the further back you pull the string, the more tension there is. If you let go too soon, the arrow won't make it to the target. The archer has to know exactly the right time, the right place, how far back to pull the string, and the right time to let go so that the arrow will reach its destination. Well, you could say Jesus is something like an archer here. He's letting the tension build up. He's deliberately hiding himself so that he can pull back more. And it's bearing good fruit, as we see at the end of today's gospel. Many came to believe in him. This contrast between good and evil is becoming clearer and clearer. And so people are saying, well, maybe this really is the Messiah. He does good works. He speaks the truth. And the authorities seem to have no control over him or any power over him. And whatever John the Baptist said about him is true. What did John the Baptist say about him? "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world." Well, if that's true, then this is really the Messiah, this Lamb. And now the Lamb is the one who's determining when he's going to be sacrificed. At the same time, as people are believing in him, the authorities are refusing to believe. And you see how strongly they resist any possibility of goodness coming from Jesus. It's the phenomenon that we see in human nature. Once we get fixated on an idea, nothing will change our mind, even the obvious truth. See this in politics all the time. If someone regards their political leader as good, then everything he does is good. And if someone regards the politician as evil, everything he does is bad. There's no objective evaluation, what things are good or what things are bad. No. It's a mindset more than an evaluation of the reality. Now, here, when they pick up the stones to throw at him, Jesus introduces to them the possibility that he might be doing something good. They can't hear it, but this is what he said. Well, what? I have done many good things from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me? He's not making a joke here. He's trying to open their closed eyes or awaken their closed hearts. I've done a lot of good things, including the raising Lazarus from the tomb, healing the blind man, feeding the multitudes. Are you opposed to these good things? And they completely shut their minds, their eyes to the good things and say, no, you're a blasphemer. You're doing something that we consider so horribly offensive that you must die. That's the tension built up. But my point is that this building tension is not in itself a bad thing, because it's getting to the point where the arrow can actually reach its destination, bullseye. And that's what we will see next week. The right time and the right sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb at the Passover, that's when it will happen. So Jesus is not going to let it happen. In the meantime, he's fully in control here. He's really the archer here. He's also the arrow. He's also the target. I mean, Jesus is the whole picture here, but he has it under control. And because we can't see that, we get this feeling like things are falling apart. You can imagine the apostles also experiencing this growing tension and their fears and their doubts and their questions and why isn't he doing it better and why does he let the people make these accusations and why does he have to hide himself? They don't understand it all. Jesus does. So the stance of faith is, even if I don't understand it, I know, Lord, you have this in hand. You're in charge here. And you can work this out for a good end. You can hit the bullseye. So that's what faith does. You see this happening in Jeremiah, not as perfectly, of course, as in Jesus. But Jeremiah, who is called by God, sent by God, proclaiming the word of God, and the fruit of that good work is the people are opposed to him. In fact, they want to kill him. They want to take vengeance on him. And listen to what Jeremiah says. Now, he can't control them. He's done everything he can to call them to conversion, to proclaim the word of God to them. They won't hear it. That's a mindset, right? It's a mindset. People just won't listen. But listen to what Jeremiah says. His enemies are saying, perhaps he will be trapped, then we can prevail. We can take our vengeance on him, a human vengeance. But then Jeremiah says, but the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. The Lord is with me. So the contest isn't between me and my enemies. It's between my enemies and the Lord. And I'm on the Lord's side. So he's confirming his position is to be with the Lord. Even if he doesn't like the situation as it's falling apart, he strengthens his decision to rely on the Lord. The Lord is with me like a mighty champion, like a great archer. He knows how to handle these seemingly terrible situations. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. That's the conviction of Jeremiah. He doesn't know how it's going to work. And we don't know how it's going to work either. This is where faith comes in. At the cross, in any experience of the cross, at the tomb, it looks to us like God has failed. He's not in charge. Evil seems to be victorious. But faith says, no, the Lord is with me like a mighty champion. The Lord is really in charge here, and he knows what he's doing. So if he wants me to experience suffering, if he wants me to experience the cross, if he wants me to experience the tomb, your will be done, Lord. I know that you will bring good even out of evil, that your good plan will come to a good completion. That's faith. So that's what we're encouraged to hold on to, because it will look like things are getting worse. And on a human level, they will get worse, both in the narratives of Holy Week and in society. Things get worse. So do we live in fear, anxiety, despair? No, we live in faith. We live in faith. Lord, your will be done. The Lord is with me like a mighty champion. Everything that John said about this Jesus is true. Let us put our trust in him.